Good evening. It is good to be here. There was some concern about whether I could look over this thing, and I can. A song that I've listened to frequently over the last several months starts out with invitations that Jesus gives to us when we're thirsty, weak, afraid, or lost. And the chorus keeps repeating, "For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus, strong and kind." It's such a simple song, such simple words, but so profound. And this evening, I'm just excited that I get to tell you about this faithful Jesus and ways that he's been faithful in this past year, how he's been the strong and kind tower that I can run to. But I thought maybe first I should just give you a little overview of the last year or two since I last talked here so you have a good idea for sure what I do. I mean, I think you have an idea, but. So in 2021, we started the literacy ministry, which is that January, February, and March, we go to teach in the villages. And these are the dry season months, which is when the village ladies are not busy with farming, and that is why we can they have time for us to teach them. So that is our chance. We make a circuit through three villages, with the weekend village being the place where I have my private space where I can cook my own food and do my laundry. And then the rest of the week, we're hosted by pastor families where we are with people day and night. We have four classes in each village, which is a total of 12 per week. And we've gone to the same three villages for the past 3 years. So in 2021 was the first, then 2022, and this past year, January, February, March again. And this year we graduated them. So that was exciting. This does not mean that everyone in these classes is a fluent reader, but we felt like we had brought them to a good place. Those who were able to go on are at a good place. Even those who can't, we just have to leave it to God. So just a reminder, I'm not the one that does the actual teaching in these villages. I work with young ladies that I train. I'm more the facilitator. So I train them. I make sure the classes happen. I make posters for classes. I carry babies around the church house so that the moms can focus, anything that I can do to help. And then all the students came together for graduation, all three of them together, so we passed out certificates and thank God for how he had helped us in the past 3 years. After those 3 months, January, February, March, I moved to Tomalley, which is a town, and I live with Ross and Cynthia Ulrich, who are our field directors, and I work with the Frafra class, so it's a totally different tribe, totally different language, so there's a different teacher out there. This year was our second year with them, and this coming year we hope to be our last. So that's just kind of an overview of what I'm doing. And so then I thought I'd just tell you some stories and hopefully show some pictures if there's time, and then look at the future a little bit. So some of these stories are just to help all of us see the faithfulness of God. And I was thinking that this is such a good question to ask because God is faithful in all of our lives, right? And I realized that this would be such a good question to ask you after church. You know, how has God been faithful to you? Because it was good for me to think about. And it's good to hear from others how you've seen God being faithful in your life. So the first story I want to tell is one of those moments where initially it didn't feel like God's faithfulness. It was a Saturday, and my water didn't come. We had a water shortage, so it had to come from distance. I planned to clean my house and my room and do my laundry, but my water didn't come, so I literally had nothing to do, and all my neighbors were gone to a wedding. And so I sat there, and you know how that kind of can have a negative effect, and I tend to be very positive and try to think things are going to improve, but I sat there and just was becoming very honest with myself, and I said, "This is your third year of literacy, and you have two fluent students, like two fluent readers of your 18 students, and the rest, maybe you have five that are can struggle their way through new words, but they're still just barely getting it, and then all the rest that aren't getting it at all." And I just started wondering if it was worth it. I was like, 3 years of sweat and tears and loneliness, I'm just not sure this is worth it. And I had to just close the windows, close the door, and I cried to God, and I said, God, I have to know that you want me here. I know exactly who to go to, and to know that they'll tell me why it's a good idea to be here. And I know who else to go to who will say that maybe it's a good idea to come home. So I need to hear from you. If I know from you that this is where you want me, I can do it. I can be lonely, I can sweat, I can not have results to show back home, but I need to know it from you. And I'll be honest, there was no voice from heaven at that moment. So I went through that weekend just kind of holding that question. Monday, we went back out to the Bush Village, and as soon as we arrived there, I could tell there was something wrong. The neighbor ladies were all gathered in the pastor's house and sitting along the walls, and I knew there was a malnourished child there, a couple-month-old baby, and I had really hoped that the formula had come in time, and they had been going to the doctor, but as we came into the room, they told me that the baby had fought very hard to live, but she didn't make it, and they had already buried the baby. I didn't have really special words to give to her at that, to any of them at that moment. I mean, I knew that Jesus was holding her, and I told them that, but other than that, I could just sit there and cry with them. That's all I could do. And as I sat kind of back in the shadows and watched them grieve and discuss, it was in that moment that I felt like God told me, I want you here right now. And in the months after that, I just keep feeling like God is saying, yes, I want you to teach them how to read. I want you to empower them, because by learning to read, they can know for themselves how to teach the younger women. They can be stronger against false teaching and persecution. But even more than that, or with that, you are giving them value in the sight of God. In a male-dominated society, they need to hear that God values each of them as women. And I want you to be an image of Jesus who is strong and kind to them. So that's one example of the faithfulness of God. And it's, you know, those moments I heard that from God, and it's not like it just infuses excitement into every moment after that. But you build on that. I build on that, and I know that God is there, and he has a purpose so far for me to be there. So another little story is one of the first storms of the rainy season. They're no joke in Africa. The thunder just makes you jump out of your skin, and the lightning is scary. And we were having the first one in the middle of the night in a thatched roof hut. And the father wasn't there. He was gone doing God's work. And our hostess was terrified. She had had a dream that her son's hut would burn down. And she wanted to go check on him, but she was scared. And she headed to the door. But as she got to the door, she just knelt down and started praying out loud. And we joined her, and we're praying with her. And I suddenly thought about it, how years ago she would have been sure that this was like the spirits being angry at her or at her family, and she would have had nowhere to go with her fear. But now she had a place to go, and she knew what to do with that fear, even though she was alone with her children in a little hut. And that is the faithfulness of God. I mentioned how there are so many that aren't able to read, but there are two that are fluent. There are others that are even better, but I think that is also the faithfulness of God. Both of these ladies are wives of church leaders, and especially Sister Cynthia, just somehow she just got it after 1 year even, and she loves reading, and she will read anything she can lay her hands on. So it is just exciting to see that. The last time I talked, I think it was 2 years ago, and you might not remember, but I had given up riding my dear compagnon, my moto, because I kept falling down all the time in the deep sand. And last year, we were able to use him again. So someone gave me some tips, And the first couple times we rode through the hard spots, you could have heard us making some loud noises and praising Jesus. So it's a small thing, but to us it feels big because it definitely is a lot easier than riding bicycle to all those places. In town, in Tomalley, trying to see how much time I have. In Tomalley, we have the teacher's mother is doing quite well with her reading, and she's been able to kind of figure out words by herself. So I thought I should give her a bigger challenge than the rest of the students. So I wrote out a verse in larger font and told her she shouldn't let her children help her. She should just try to figure it out herself and then see if she can read it to me. And she was able to do that. And then a couple weeks later, she said, oh, I was responsible at the ladies' meeting on Saturday, and I read the verse that you helped, you know, gave to me to learn how to read, and I taught them from that verse. And that just was another point of God's faithfulness and really made my heart rejoice, because that's exactly why I'm doing it, so that they have the tools to do that. Sandra is a very, very young mama that attended our classes in Bon Bon this past year. She was just starter, and we were already in the third year, so I said she can't really be a part of the classes, but if she wants to attend, that's up to her. And she did. I don't know if she just thought it would be fun or what, but she came. After I moved back to Tomalley, I suddenly heard that she had been taken to the Tomalley Hospital, and they thought it was cancer. The Americans involved were thinking that it was cancer in her leg. And at first, they were fearing for her life, and then they said, at least they'll probably have to amputate a leg. We went to see her, and by the time I saw her, she was already doing better, and they said, like, she had so much dead skin, and it was a very miserable situation. But I came to see a transformed young lady. She hadn't been very strong in her faith. She made some foolish choices. But through this whole experience, she just said, I just know that God loves me. I didn't know he loves me this much. And the nurses in her ward were saying that the one day when she was in so much pain, she just sang out loud songs of praise. And everybody in the area, she was surrounded by Muslims and all sorts of people. And she was just loudly proclaiming the goodness of God, which would not have happened if she had not been sick. So that's just another little picture of God's faithfulness. So I think that's all I will share of little stories of God's faithfulness. And I'm going to show you a few pictures and then we'll go from there. So I think we're going to be just starting with kind of my week in the village. So we would, Monday morning, we got onto my moto and rode off to the first village. And this is my morning view, usually slept outside. It doesn't want to turn. So this was my role holding children, and I looked over the writing part of the class. This is Sister Koswa. She was the one that taught this year. She did a really good job. And one of the students practicing her reading, very typical to be holding a baby on her back as she does it. And I'm doing this to give you an idea of the distractions that happen during class. I would try to keep them out, but then it quickly became a game of, let's try to go in so the white lady chases us out. She's reading while the others follow along, also a student. As you can see, learning to read is very slow, patience, or work that takes patience. And then after classes, I would usually do work on posters or just hang out with people. That's a lot of what we do, is just sitting with people, shelling groundnuts is what we're doing here. This was the test that we were giving them. It really freaked them out, but... And towards the end, we had our first rains, which gave us some adventures. This was a river to wade through. And parties at the end of, lots of food and special drinks. This was the sweet baby that passed on. And this brings us to the graduation party. As they say, passing on or passing out, so they all passed out. And this is Cynthia, so the one that really enjoys reading. And you can see her husband in white. He's very proud of her. So this is the entire group. We gave them all certificates. SHAME is it's a shame-based society, so we had to be careful with that. We gave them certificates based on faithful attendance. And then you can see there's stars on their certificates, which shows their level of achievement. So this is the Bonbon class, and the Kufuri class, and the Techumen class. And these were the two teachers that worked with me. The one on the left is Sister Bernice. She taught for 2 years. And then the one on the right is Kaswa. She taught this past year. They both did very well and loved the women well. Then we moved to town. This is a town group working. Thanks to Teresa and Melody, the three oldest have reading glasses. They wanted this picture taken especially for them. And reading lamps as well that have really helped a lot. In town, they have day jobs, so all the classes are in the evening. This is an outreach class in town in the pastor's home. And my teacher's mother is my Ghana mom. This is Charity, the one that teaches in Tomale. And yes, they love cheerful clothes. So she is my height and we have shared the same personality. So people ask us how we can be twins with different skin color. This was the site I saw as I left church the last Sunday there. They were working on their practicing already. And this is Sandra in the hospital with her mother. This just shows you some of my American colleagues there. That's Ross and Cynthia next to me, who I live with part of the time. And the ladies that I fellowship with on retreats. And I think that's it. So, looking to the future, we graduated these three classes, so that means we have finished there, and Lord willing, we are going to start three new classes. Probably for the North, there is a lot that we haven't figured out yet, so going by faith, and the being a nomad continues. And in Tomale, we have one more year with them, and then we hope to graduate them. Sometimes people wonder, like, what my commitment is or how long I plan to be there. And basically, I'm just going a year at a time and seeing how God leads. So I'm not making strong statements that I'm going to be there for a long time yet, or I'm not saying I'm leaving after a year. I'm just kind of waiting to see what God tells me. So I think they wanted me to share some specific prayer needs. So with that of looking to the future, you can pray with us for a teacher. That's going to probably be the biggest challenge to work with me in this area. It's a little bit of a different dialect. There are thousands of languages and dialects, and this is different again. So I'm not sure how that's going to go to find a teacher. The other thing is we need Konkoma Bibles. There is a Konkoma Bible, but it's been out of print for 3 years, and we finally figured out that the reason is because the funding now needs to come from within instead of from, is it SIL? Yeah. I'm not going to go into detail about that. I put a letter in your mailboxes that my director wrote about that to his contacts, so I'm just going to let him explain it to you. But you can pray for that need, and if God leads you to help with it, that would be good too. And then the last prayer would just be for me to remain grounded in change. I find that this life of change can sometimes be a way of, if I'm not intentional or careful, it's hard to be grounded in a healthy way. I think I'll put it that way, so you can pray for me in that. So I think that's all I have. Maybe I'll just make sure John has something to say. I don't know what it is. Okay.
You mentioned the term outreach group in town. Can you define that?
Sure. So he asked what the outreach group is about. There was a main Tomalley church that I related to, and the pastor there moved. It was not a split, but he just wanted to move to another area of town. And so they just kind of have a house church over there where some of the other families also went. So it's just a smaller group that meets about half an hour away. Yes, Lauren.
Were those water tanks in the back of that picture toward the end?
Which picture was it? It's very likely, but I'm trying to remember which picture. What was the main part of the picture? Do you remember?
Yeah.